Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Of God. you persevere through life, for 70, 80, 90 years, for those of us who are strong. And we have highways and byways, we have valleys and peaks. We have great times of great measure, but at the same time, there's always that cloud they talk about in the first reading that overcomes us. In other words, trials and tribulations, and the gift of the cross that Christ prepares for us for our own sanctification, not our chastisement and rejection, but purification. And he gives us the sign of the rainbow to express to us that his justice will always be tempered by mercy. But there is justice. And then we're told about our Lord going out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And there in the desert, very uncomfortable. No place to lay your head except for a stone. No food to eat except for the guys that's falling around your mouth. You can't eat it all. You're hot during the day, you're cold at night, you're uncomfortable all the time. And he's telling us about the pilgrimage of life. And why is that? Because there's a picture that can be drawn from that experience that leads us into the beatific vision, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly kingdom. Where there'll be none of that. It'll be just joy in the beatific vision. So that their joy may be complete, Father, as our joy is complete in us. In other words, union, full union with the Most Blessed Trinity. This is what our Lord is trying to express to us. And yes, we will have to go through the 40 days. And yes, we will have to go through the cross. But if we are faithful and we follow Christ and we give our hearts to Him and we experience Him in every aspect of life, and we are faithful to Him, His love is unconditional, therefore the reward will be to be to the vision. Our Lord also tells us about being tended to by angels. Remember? If He's God, why would He have to go out into the desert and be tended to by angels? Because God has sent His angels before us. And He says, listen to them. They will teach you of the ways of the kingdom of my heaven, of my Creator, of myself. So if I'm struggling with the love of God, why not pray, one Our Father, three Hail Marys, to the seraphic choir of angels? If I'm struggling with the love of neighbor, why not pray, one Our Father, three Hail Marys, to the seraphic, the cherubim, the throne of the cherubim, the choir? If I'm struggling with humility, why not turn to those in front of us? Because Isaiah stands at the gates of heaven, and he looks in, and what does he see? Myriads and myriads and myriads of angels adoring God, proclaiming, listen to this, holy, 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 sanctus, sanctus, sanctus. A picture of mass. And the foundations of heaven shook. We're invited into that. If I'm having difficulties, let's say persevering in the faith, why not talk to the choir of our angels, the eighth choir? If I'm having difficulty with my own guardian angel, I don't know the ways of God, I don't understand the ways of God. Please teach me, give me knowledge, understanding, before we can perish, hide, fear. Talk to my guardian angel, he's sitting there keeping the score at him. Perseverance and judgment. For St. Thomas Aquinas said this when asked about the angel. If you are found worthy of hell, your angel leaves you. If you are found worthy of purgatory, your angel comes to comfort you. Remember that group of people who Christ had to go to before the flood? If you are found worthy of heaven, you no longer have a guardian angel, but a brother of Jesus Christ. That's why devotion to the angels is so vitally important for our own spiritual growth. That's why we have the capacity to know and love God, because He has given us the tools to do so. That's why we fast, because we're saying we're shedding ourselves of this world, looking for something greater than next, and that is Himself. And it's not so much the physical things that we face from, but the monetary things that we face from. It has to be a fast of the Spirit, a cleansing of the heart to say, Thy will be done, Lord, not mine. On the last you ever appreciate you. But like, starts with the other people that came before you. I never wanted to be Catholic. That'd be hard to understand for a priest to say that. I never, ever wanted to be a priest. Never. You know what I wanted to be when I grew up? A millionaire. Lucky me, huh? I have four brothers, two sisters, and my mom raises as a single mom. I understand what it's not to have. I understand the struggle. I understand what it's not to have new clothes. And my idea of new clothes with Jimmy Richards spring dance. And two more brothers. My resume to the priesthood began on December 24th, 1974, a little church called the Annunciation in Havertown, Pennsylvania. On Christmas Eve, about 10 after 12 in the morning, I was back in the vestibule with my friends. My mom and her girlfriends up here somewhere in the front, my brothers and sisters somewhere else, and some older guys and girls came into church celebrating the birth of our Lord just a little early. And they started the day. The next thing I know, they sat on the table, and the table collapsed and went down with a loud bang. I started to laugh, and the next thing I knew, someone grabbed out the scruff of my neck and the seat of my pants and threw me out of church. I went out on the Webster Road, and I looked up in the middle of the night to see who it was, and it was a Monsignor Crash. He's not getting up, is he?
It's a challenge
Christ hidden in us. It's a beautiful challenge because it leads to holiness and an unconditional love that only Christ can share with you. No greater love than this, he would say, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And I call you, my friends, and I share with you everything the Father has given to me. And because of your baptism, because of your faith, because of your perseverance, because of your labors, I send joy to you, peace to you. Come to my Father's feet. As I work with the sisters, they begin to ask me the pertinent questions of life. What am I doing with myself? Remember, I'm still a man Irishman. I don't know how to go to church, so why don't you go back? Why don't you become a priest? Never. So one night, you know, they work on me enough where I kind of bent the knee. And the fellows get a bunch of women praying for you. You know what happens, don't you? Done. Put a fork in you and turn you over. And done. I went down to my hometown. I walked into church. I'm thinking to myself and my mother, remember the words, my heart's beating in my chest. I'm nervous. I've been here 10 years. You know, he's going to throw me out again. I don't know. All these things, you know, the world, flesh, and blood. I walk into the confessional, I kneel down, I say, Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. It's been 10 years since my last confession. And who do you think is waiting for me on the other side? Talk about a sense of humor with God. As it turns out, this fellow's name is Monsignor John J. Haight. H-A-Y-T. I'm looking for the mercy of God, and I got Haight. Next story. I confessed to Monsignor for a half hour. I told him everything. I mean everything. It was just like this huge stone being taken off. I said, that's it, Monsignor. There's no more. He said, that's it. I hear this. And he on the screen said, Monsignor Peter, are you okay? Then I heard 150 Hail Marys.
So he called me up a few years ago and he said, hey, son, listen to this.
One of the nuns that called us back from grade school, the Mercy Sisters, she died when we went to the funeral of the victim, and then we went to the reception afterwards. At the reception, myself and Nancy Miller, my cousin, went in, we were all classmates, and we walked in, and like, there, part of the black sea, because they were all in habit, walks out this 83-year-old nun, Sister Mary Farnes. And she walks over and says, "Nancy Miller, do you remember me?" "Yes, Sister Mary Farnes," 37 years later. Fellows, women remember everything. Okay? You never forget. Ties to these places and conversations. Yeah? "Yes, sir, I remember. How you doing, Nancy?" "Oh, my youngest just went to college, and my grandmother for the first time. All these things are happening. Joe and I still live on the boulevard. He's got his own plumbing company. I help out at school as often as I can. It's a teacher's aid." "How's Barbara Grace reading and Ray McDowell, Lori Coghlan, Claire Riley, all the girls?" "Oh, they're doing great. We know this is what you get a family going. It's tough to get together, but we try." "And Brian, how about you?" "Oh, sister, I have my own construction company. New floors and foundations and curbs. Run fireplaces and chimneys. I got my three boys working for me. It's a struggle sometimes, but I'm basing on my trade and my knowledge from my boys and not on my proud father." Sister Mary Farnes then asked, "How about Danny Hale, Max McDaniel, Michael Burke, John Belushi, John Leon?" "Oh, they're all doing great, sister. You know, we get together and have sandwiches and lunch with the guys sometimes." And then she says, "How solid." 6'2", flame red hair, blue eyes, leans over and says, "He's a priest." 83-year-old nun grabs Nancy Miller by the arm and says, "I have to sit down. My heart hurts." So it just goes to show you, if you give your heart to God, He can change you. If you give your heart to God to others, you can still have an effect on them as well. Because miracles do happen. But you gotta ask. You gotta practice that chemistry. May your life be fruitful. May you truly experience the mercy of Jesus Christ by telling Him that you love Him and seek holiness in all things. Amen.